Hello and welcome to We're Watching What? I'm your host Dana, or the DHK as I'm known, and we watched three things this week. We started off with episode 2 of season 2 of Loki on Disney Plus, a major spoiler alert for that one. We then watched the new Netflix film Fair Play. Not only are we issuing a spoiler alert for that one, but also need to issue a sort of content warning as the film itself gets into some sensitive subjects, including sexual assault, and that does come up in our discussion. And actually, unfortunately, same thing goes for the first 2 episodes of Lessons in Chemistry, which is a new show out on Apple TV Plus. So spoiler alert, and unfortunately, you know, content warning for that one. And a spoiler alert if you are a bibliophile and reading the book as well, as we're sort of parallel pathing. We talk about a little bit, maybe the first quarter of the book, as well as the first 2 episodes. And so, with all that being said, without further ado, here's We're Watching What? We are on our second episode of Loki. How are you? Are you still enjoying the momentum? Where are you feeling on this?
Yeah, I'm still kind of where I was last week. I can't bring myself to really care about what's going on with this story in general. Yeah. I just am having a hard time with it. I think it continues to be beautifully shot. I like the sets. I think it's pretty. I think it's well acted. I thought this had some decent acting. I think it always has decent acting, but I thought this had some, I guess, I don't know, more notable decent acting. I was noticing things like the interrogation and things like that. Sure. I was like, okay, this is good acting. But yeah, there are a couple of fun little Easter eggs. I liked learning about X5 more and the Brad Wolf Zaniac thing. Have you read about this?
Yeah. Oh no, wait. Have I read about? No. What?
Well, I mean, I know who he is from the comics, so I'm assuming people have picked up on this. But oh. That's what I meant. Like, do you know about?
Oh no,
him?
I'm not. Like, no, enlighten me.
At this movie premiere, and it was there for Zaniac. It's like, yeah, it's, and I only know because, you know, I have a thing for horror and serial killers. But he's playing a serial killer named Zaniac in that movie.
Uh huh.
And that's from the comics that he does that. Oh. This character, Brad Wolf. Yeah. I don't know him as X5, so that's why I was like, it was a surprise to me that it was Brad Wolf.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they said his name before. And he plays that character, and he's like a terrible like person in real life, like misogynistic, just like sexist guy. But then he gets, I don't know if the word's possessed or taken
possessed,
over or
possessed
inhabited.
Possessed does seem like the,
inhabited by a dark spirit that, if I remember correctly, it might come from Dormammu
It sounds like you remember correctly. Yes. No,
this is in some comics, and he fights Thor, and this is like, it's, so I remember the Thor stuff, but then it's linked to Jack the Ripper, and it's this whole
thing.
Again, so he
excellently remembered, apparently. I'm looking at an article on it.
Oh, very nice. But yeah. he becomes the Zaniac eventually because he gets inhabited, and I don't know what mm-hmm. happens, but he just becomes a monster and killer guy. So he's part of like Marvel horror. So I liked that because, you know, I'm all in this like Werewolf by Night. That's like one of my favorite things they've done recently. And I was like, oh, well, we'll see what happens with him. Maybe he could be a horror element that we bring in. I just want all the horror stuff. Right. So that was fun.
Which, speaking of Werewolf by Night getting a color release, I was like, are you kidding?
It's just like,
we are milking. We are
to
milking.
To me, I'm like,
anyway,
milking. So to me, I'm like, it misses the point. It's like, this was supposed to be a gimmick paying homage to, you know, like, I don't need this in color.
Yeah.
Love it, but I love it in black and white. Anyway.
Right. Okay. But anyway, yeah. No, I mean, I like the Brad Wolf stuff. I like them, like, interrogating him.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the episodes that I saw twice, and I was just like, okay, we're like, the first time I was like, this is fine. The second time I was like, oh my God, we're chewing the scenery so much.
It was a little lengthy. Yeah.
It was much. It was like the Gimme an Emmy episode, ? I don't know if that's actually, I mean, I'm sure they're always, you know, hoping for something along those lines. But I do love Rafael Cassel. Like, I love him so much. Yeah. The guy who's playing X5, Brad Wolf, etc. But yeah, again, we're just sort of like ambling along. And this whole McDonald's thing, I can't. Like, what? I get that it's like iconic and more people recognize Ronald McDonald than like Jesus or Santa or whatever it is, you know, some horror. I don't know if that's still true, but it just felt so forced to me.
I know.
It feels like
intentional paid branding. And I'm like,
Oh, my note just says synergy.
Yeah, right. Like it has that vibe, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, I don't know. It's interesting, I guess, like Sylvie, I guess, is supposed to just be like, okay, she wants a normal existence kind of thing. And she's just, you know, like kind of
yeah,
likes fitting in there in a way where she's like not special or sought after, I guess, if you will. But
under attack. Like,
I can get down with that. But at the same time, I'm like, I mean, it's no shade, but I just mean, like, I don't know. I guess there's so, with all those unlimited timelines and all these things, and like, that's maybe normal for our Earth.
Yeah.
Our timeline on Earth. But like, there's so many other normals and other things that has to be more interesting than that, no?
I don't.
Not. And she just shows in Oklahoma. Which I wondered, because Broxton, Oklahoma, in the more recent iteration of Thor, which I did not keep up with. I haven't read Thor.
Oh, the comic. The comic. I was like, what?
Yeah, the comics, yeah, yeah. I haven't seen the movies.
I've never seen Thor movies.
I do know, I don't know if this is just a little like fun little nod. I didn't actually think of it last week, because I know they put the Chiron in there, I'm sure, when we saw her. But that's like where they build Asgard on Earth. But I know we already have a new Asgard on Earth in the MCU.
Yeah.
But in the comics, that's where they do. So it feels like it's probably just a little like nod.
Sure.
Broxton, Oklahoma, because of that. I can't imagine they're going to do much more with it. You know, but unless Sylvie's going to set up some sort of compound and build a life there. Who knows? But
who knows? I mean, I don't want to knock anyone who works at McDonald's or fast food place, but it just seems like the character of Sylvie would not be happy in that, you know, spending years in this little podunk area at McDonald's.
That's essentially what I'm getting at here. It's just kind of like,
I don't know. It does, like, the next two episodes sort of pick up, but it drags. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we're back.
It drags. Yeah, I could feel that. And it's just, again, feels, and I felt this about season one in a lot of ways, but it just feels like a show that exists because they were like, hey, we should do something else with Loki.
Right.
Not a show that exists because they're like, hey, we have a story to tell.
Who? Absolutely. This is because they're like, money.
And it's like, of course, everything exists with all, you know, it's like, oh, we want to see this hero, that hero, but there are reasons behind it. But this is like, oh, no, he's popular. And so it's not so different. I'm not saying it's the same quality, but it's almost like doing the whole like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing and being like, we need more of what's his face.
Yes. Yeah.
Who he decided to kill and then pretend he didn't die. But it's like, we need more of him. So let's just, because Colt, was it Coulson? Coulson.
Yeah, Coulson.
Hey, it kind of feels, it stinks of that a little bit to me.
100%. Yeah.
So it's tough.
But I mean, I will say I'm cheating a little bit having seen, you know, more of it. And I talked about this a little bit in the first one, but I'm like, yeah, they may achieve the, like, you have to see this in order for everything to make sense going forward. But it's like a brute force version of that versus like ooh, I want to see what's happening here.
At what cost?
At least
with season one, and I wasn't very interested then, but at least with season one, it was like, okay, we're building toward Kang. We felt as if Kang is going to be the next big thing.
And now it's feeling less and less. Right and wrong we were on that front.
It's taking so long to get to that point that if it is the thing, it's just that I've just lost. That was like the limited interest that I had, and I've lost that now.
Right.
And so I don't know. I mean, and then Sylvie has like one of his relics or something at the end. I don't really know what that thing does. She's like fumbling around. I assume that's from him.
I don't even remember.
She's like on the car and she's holding the thing, and it's like, I think the guy asked her, like, you be in tomorrow, and she's like fumbling around with this like object, but it's the thing that she had, I think, in the last episode when she kills him. I don't know. I don't know what it does. I don't know
if it is. I feel like it lets her go back to the headquarters, right?
Okay. Oh, is that okay?
I think that's what it is. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I'm also not going to bother to look it up again.
Yeah, I don't actually care.
I don't care enough. Neither do you. Like, if somebody else out there cares enough and happens to be listening to this, please send us a note.
Potential observation I had. We don't know.
I think I know what you're referring to. And I do think it is the like ability, you know, it's like one of the little transponder pager beeper things. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, again, they've strong-armed us into continuing, so I don't see a world in which you stop, but to your point, at what cost?
At what cost? And at the end of the day, it's like, listen, I made it through Moon Knight.
We sure do. You know, I don't think he'll ever listen to this, but somebody I met, they were like, my favorite of the shows is Moon Knight. And I was like, are you okay? Who hurt you?
Yeah, like, what has gone wrong for you in your life?
Yeah, what happened here?
Yeah, I don't know. And it's like, if we're capable of that, I think we're capable of pretty much
everything. Well, Jackie didn't finish Moon Knight, so I don't know if we're capable of
I don't know that she's capable of it, but she likes Loki.
You and I, yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah. But, all right, moving on to Fair Play.
Yes.
How fair...
Speaking of something that before we knew that Jackie couldn't make it, but also hadn't had a chance to watch this yet.
Yeah.
I was immediately going to be like, how much did you get through?
We'll attend. Yeah.
Because I enjoyed it. I have notes, but I enjoyed the movie. But at multiple points in this film, I was like, okay, if she made it to this point, she's turning it off now. Because there were too many points of like, secondhand embarrassment that she suffers from, where she'd be like, oh God, like, I can't look at it because someone's making a fool of themselves, or oh, it's embarrassing because they don't know this person doesn't like them, or all these things. She suffers. And I don't know that she could make it through. But I liked it.
the dialogue alone, she should have tapped out way earlier.
That was my biggest note, was I was like, some of this dialogue, oof.
Nobody some talks of it I was to okay each other with, that
but
way.
Some, yeah, yeah, some was so just like, oh, geez. But I did think, I thought performances were strong. I really like Alden. I thought that
Phoebe.
I thought that Phoebe, while I like her and I think she's a decent enough actress, I did think she was a bit miscast. I think that I was having a harder time kind of buying her character. And the one that came to mind immediately, if we were just trying to kind of typecast, I was like, you know who could have killed this was Vanessa Kirby. Like, I just immediately thought, if we're typecasting it, we're kind of, I think that she could have done it. She has like more of an intensity about her.
Yeah.
I think that maybe lacks that kind of intensity that the character eventually needed to have. And when Alden is like so over the top aggressive with his intensity at times, like that's a strength of his, I think, in his like erratic acting sometimes. I was finding it hard for her to match him.
I wouldn't have cast Vanessa against Alden. I don't think.
Yeah.
Did
you like Phoebe in it, or were you? Yeah.
I don't know. I did not.
No.
I think it was the writing in a lot of the scenarios. Like, I don't think that nobody talks that way. I mean, maybe like not to kink shame or whatever, but like nobody talks that way. It's the worst written like dirty talk ever. I don't think they had any romantic chemistry. Which you could, you know, it could sort of play into the plot. I did like the ending. Like, the ending sort of saved this movie for me, but like as an overall journey, I was like, and at the end I was like, oh damn, okay. But yeah, I didn't buy them as a couple, and a couple who were up until that point, like willing to, you know, were so in love with each other that they were willing to risk their careers, you know, like sneaking around.
Yeah.
And also, I'm just like, you're sneaking around, but also you've been together long enough to get engaged. Like,
I think it was supposed to be like they were sneaking, deciding not to make it public at the workplace, but then it only became a really big problem when one of them was the other one's boss or promoted, because they were similar levels. So it was like, they're not allowed probably, but it's like, okay, you feel like you're like, okay, we're not really doing anything terrible here. But it's funny. I agree with you on the writing. I actually could buy them a little bit with chemistry before she got the promotion, because she seemed like someone who his character needed, not subservient, but she seemed more docile and more he could be the bad, you know, the big, you know, whatever. He could be the dominant presence in the relationship.
Right.
You know? And he needed that, clearly. And toxic as that is, he needed that. And she seemed to be that way. And then all of a sudden kind of wasn't. And it was a little jarring. And that's where I was like, okay, now I'm not really, how do you not know each other at all? Like, you know what I mean? Yes.
Agreed. And so I think
it felt kind of weird.
The other part about that is just like, I didn't buy her boys club act, you know, when she's like being pushed a bit and is like at the strip club or whatever it is, you know, all that stuff. I just didn't, she couldn't pull it off in a way that felt natural. And maybe that's the point. But again, I think I'm giving them more credit than like it's due when it comes to some of these things.
Yeah, maybe. But at the same time, because I agree with you, but at the same time, one thing I thought was strong about this, like stronger than the dialogue writing anyway, was the commentary. And I thought I appreciated that in a very feminist film. I thought, like, look at like what, you know, she's not flawless and doesn't make any mistakes, but it's still a commentary. Like, he's having toxic masculine issues with the whole thing. She is also, though, acting out and like doing things that like I could see him getting upset about, you know, or kind of feeling away about. But she's doing that because she feels that in the culture that we have in the man's world and in that kind of setting and stuff that she's in, she feels she has to be that way to fit in with them. And that's still a commentary on toxic masculinity. And so I thought that it was a nice, honest look at toxic masculinity without just making a movie where like every man is a demon. You know what I mean? Like it was, you know what I'm saying? Like it felt very, I thought that was well done. So I actually give them credit for that. And just think some of the scenarios and dialogue was where it suffered.
Agreed. I thought like, you know, the premise of the movie was there. I just, you know, personally didn't feel it in execution for that. You know, it's just like, I was like, where? I saw like a version in my mind that was stronger than what we ended up getting on screen. And I do think a lot of that comes down to, unfortunately, like the casting and the chemistry and all that stuff. And then the writing, I think, for some of the scenes. But, you know, maybe in the hands of an excellent, different actor, performer, it would have been, you know, a whole different thing.
Yeah. I thought that some of their, you know, even with some of the weaker dialogue, I thought like some of their fights, some of them felt pretty real. Like I thought like for me, like I felt like there were several scenes where I felt that they did do well with like establishing tension, I guess. Yeah. And it kind of like spiced up and it was like, okay, cool. It was a thriller. And I was like, okay,
it was there. It was just when she's like, you know, she's like, I need you to fuck me. I was just like, not everything of this like sort of gender swap feels authentic, you know, because it does feel like they sort of like, you know, flip the script on your, you know, more traditional erotic thriller. But then I was like, I feel like there are some areas where we still needed to keep adjusting for the fact that the female character is in the lead and in the position of power.
Right. And again, with casting, you've casted this actress who I think plays kind of innocent and naive.
I was just gonna say I had zero
really well,
sex. I saw zero sex appeal.
Yeah. That's where it felt a little. Yeah, it could have been more. It's all about chemistry, but but it could have been more. It could have felt right, but yeah, I liked where it went with the end. I did feel it was a little abrupt, but at the same time, I was like, well, I don't know what else you're gonna do. Like, I was like, are we gonna get to a murder thing here? I'd be fine with it, but I'm like, how far is this gonna go?
Yeah,
like, are we going full like into the 90s sexual thriller here, where we're just like, it's going to end in murder because it's the only way?
Yeah, like, I mean, but, that would have been fine.
No, you know, I would have been fine with it, but the way they ended, I was like, yeah, I don't know what else you're supposed to do. I kind of did want her to stab him.
Yes,
just because I like the elevation of the drama. So like,
yeah,
why
well,
not?
And you know? Like, it looks bad. He deserved it.
Yeah. At that point, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know? And so, but again, he deserved that. But I did feel like it was like in the way it was done. It was like, you could still look at that. And that's like, I just disliked both of these people by the end.
Yes. But I think, you know,
balanced like that. Oh no, he deserved it.
He committed a crime, and she, But I agree. Yeah. Neither of them are likable. Like, or you know, they're part at a certain point. Neither of them.
Yeah. Well, and I like that when we got to that point. I like how nuanced it was, because it's important to show things like that, and it's nuanced in a way that I think only a woman director in today's age, or not only, but mostly does well.
No, it got so much of it right, which is why I just wish overall
it was like, you know. Totally. Like, yeah, the thing we're alluding to here is a rape, essentially. But it's like, I like that. Yeah, okay. But the situation started out, it was violent and awful the way it started out. And she did smash a bottle in his head, which was not okay.
Yeah.
But then they're in the bathroom And the way it starts out, it's like, okay, yeah, she does get, she's like, okay, let's do this, blah, blah, blah. But then it very clearly gets to a point where she's like, enough, no more. And he doesn't stop. And it's like, yes, that is rape. Just because she consented to having sex with you does not mean.
Yeah, she can rescind that consent at any point. Yes, yeah.
She did, and you didn't allow it, and you slammed her head into the sink. So it was like, you know what I mean?
And like, and you finished the act, which is sexual assault. Yeah.
100%. And so I thought that was really effective.
Agreed. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm sitting there actually shocked that she's like genuinely shocked. I think he was genuine that she was accusing him of rape. And he's like, what are you talking about? And
it's right.
Like, dude, like, you know, and just important to call out. So I liked that.
I do also feel like they didn't give enough time to that. Like, it's a pretty heavy subject in terms of, you know, interrelationship, consent, not consent, you know, all that stuff. And then suddenly it's just like, not tacked on, but it just gets sped through. And I feel like we could have, you know, given some of the time of like the middle part of it, like his unraveling away. And like, you know, I think there are like easy ways to shortcut being like, hey, he's not dealing well with like his, you know, the woman in the relationship having the, being, you know, the big boss, and he's fixating on this, like, you know, their mega boss, like he's assuming it's because of like a sexual thing and all this stuff, you know. I just feel like because so many people actually like know about that and relate to that, like they could have been more efficient there and then explored this like subject that people don't talk about a lot because it's not a fun subject, but they had the grounds there. It was just like, but then she gets her revenge and goodbye. Like,
right. And it was a nuanced response from him as well, where it's like, I felt like every time they would fight, he would just go and say the thing to cut her down in a way to make her feel like she didn't belong there. But I don't think he even believed that. I don't think he believed she was cheating on him or doing anything. I don't think he believed it, but he just knew he could call her out on that and pretend and say that because that's what she thinks everyone thinks. So that's like feeding into her insecurity. And it was like, oh my God, this is like, it's even grosser than if you actually thought she was doing it. You're like, let me go and cut you down. And I just thought it was like, that part nailed that kind of personality type, which is somebody that I very much dislike. Like, but that kind of person who just has to go for the jugular because they can't actually have an effective argument.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it only exists in extremes. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like a little triggered by that. I was like, okay. Cause I know some people. And I was like, okay.
Like, again, there are a lot of like moments in it, but I didn't feel like as a whole, it was quite there.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. It felt, and again, not to unnecessarily shade them, but it felt right that I was watching it on streaming.
Yes.
Like, it felt like a movie, but it didn't feel like I didn't need the theater for it.
And I, you know, again, to play the awards game, I was like, there's a reason it came out in October, you know, and they didn't hold it until December. I don't think it's terrible. I don't know who I'd recommend it to. Having seen it. I would be like, this looks interesting, everyone. But having seen it, I'm like,
I recommended it to my cousin, but I told her, I was like, it's not like it's amazing or anything, but I was like, she might dig it.
Yeah.
Because she likes that kind of fight, like fighting. They're fighting the whole time in a dysfunctional couple. Like, she's into that stuff, you know, like in movies and TV a lot. So
sure.
And I am too. But I mean, like, but it's a very niche thing to recommend.
Yeah.
I don't text
anybody else about it. Right.
So I had a friend visiting over the weekend who watched it over the weekend while he was here, and he liked it.
Okay.
Similar to me. I think he felt similar to me, but he was into it.
Okay. We'll take it.
Yeah.
But the other thing we watched was Lessons in Chemistry, the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. Where do you land on that?
Yeah. So have you seen more technically or?
No. I pulled a Pachinko it's based on a book, and my parents actually had been like aggressively recommending this book to me when they found out that it was going to be, they'd already read it before it was going to become a series. And then, you know, when I mentioned, it's coming out, my mom was like, oh, the book is so great. But it wasn't available at the library until just today. So I watched the first two. I watched the first one and I was like, oh no, I want to read the book. I think I want to read the book. And then had to wait. So I watched the other one and now I have the book. And so I'm going to pause until I'm done with the book, which is a very fast read. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I, it's funny you say that because I guess I knew it was a book based on, I don't know, maybe the opening credits even said it. I don't know. I hadn't heard of it prior to the show being greenlit, though. And I actually don't think I even watched a trailer for it. So it's kind of nice to watch it, not really knowing where we're going. I have major predictions about what's about to happen, but I don't know. But just based on conversations and things, it just feels like, and then the shocking ending of two, I was like, okay, this is.
Which I had not gotten to in the book yet. So I was like, well, guess that there's that.
Yeah. So I almost don't even want to say my prediction if you don't.
No. You can. Like I, you know.
I just have a feeling she's pregnant with his kid, and for sure, or well, she is pregnant with his kid, but that she's going to, or we know she is, right? They did say that.
Yeah.
So I'm not crazy. Okay.
No.
That she is, but that she is going to now be like, I don't know, if she'll be fired or what's going to happen, but that it's like she's not going to be able to like be a single mother in this sexist, horrible, sure. You know, like, and I have a feeling that's going to totally disrail her life and her career, and then we're going to, you know. So it's going to get darker is my assumption. But,
yeah.
But I don't know. But
yes.
But that being said, I enjoyed it well enough, but I did think while watching it, I was like, I bet you this is a very good book, because it does feel a little kind of, what is the word? Not a tone issue for me. It's a abridged, if you will, like often the adaptations are.
Yeah.
But it's like that first episode, I do feel like she is not drastically, but considerably different as a person than she is in the second episode all of a sudden in certain ways. Like, and how quickly, like, I liked their relationship and I was like, oh, they're cute and he's cute with her and she's cute with, like, mm-hmm. I like it all, and I wanted them to be together.
Yeah.
But it felt like obviously she was triggered with the closed door thing, and I get it. Like, I'm not, no faults there.
Yeah.
But then, like, all of a sudden it was like, she's like, okay, she doesn't want to work with him anymore, whatever. And then they said they'll work together again. And then he's like, I'll teach you to row. And then all of a sudden they're like kissing, and then they're going to be together. It's like, it came out of nowhere. I was like, wait, suddenly now this woman who said, I will never marry in the first episode is all of a sudden like romantically involved with this guy that she was like, get away from me. Like, it just felt like a little quick.
Yes, I do. I think the book does a better job of what I've read so far of like timelining it out, because in it, spoilers for the book, like in it, their relationship, it just feels like it forms in a more organic chemistry way. Because I was like, first of all, can I just say the description of a book? He's supposed to be a 6'4" rower. Like, I'm like, mm-hmm. Lewis Pullman, it's not, you know, he's not small, but he's not a 6'4" rower. But I think they do a better job of, like, you know, establishing effectively like the chemistry with them. You know, I get what they were trying to do in episode one, especially with like the peanuts, and they get each other and they're both like, you know, whatever it is. But they have, like, they're much further into their relationship when he starts to like try and get her to row. And like, I don't even know if the swimming thing is a thing yet, but
yeah.
You know, they just they don't go as much into like the little details of the way the, like, you know, I need the stuff from your lab plays out. It like happens slightly differently, but I just feel like it makes more sense the way it plays out in the book versus this, like, we're gonna kiss in the thing. Like, the way that it's written in the book, like, comes across better, you know.
Is it from her point of view? Like, is she the narrator of the book, or is it like a third party?
I think it's a third party.
Okay.
Yeah. I say this having read like a few chapters of it this afternoon.
Like, wait a second.
It's third party. Yeah. And I think she comes off like more. And this is what I about the show. And this is why when I watched the first episode, I was like, oh no, I really want to have read the book. Like, Brie Larson is like a great actress, right? Like, has been in some great roles. I don't feel the like kind of stem coldness I think I need from this character. Like, I think you're right. And like, tonally, it's too hard. And she's much better at this, like, softer, like, oh, we're in love, but we like magically became in love thing than, you know, I feel like the like naturalness of the book gets us to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can write more about.
Yeah, and of course, it's like different mediums.
Better and stuff. Yeah, 100%. And
but
so
that's the thing.
So
they don't even go into the emotions that much in the book. It's like very clinical, right?
Okay.
But it's you know, you can see the relationship forming between them. And it does like sort of pepper in the narration of it. But, you know, I just feel like it does a better job conveying it. And I like the character in the book more in that it's just like she's not against being with this person. She just wasn't like, she doesn't believe in the institution of marriage for herself.
Yeah.
Like, that's what she's adamant about.
Right. And in the first episode, I was kind of reading her as someone who, like, she is witty and she's snarky. She can be snarky that, like, yeah, she has comebacks. It's not like she's, like, completely, like, inept socially.
Right.
But it felt as if, granted, we're seeing her at this arbitrary, terrible social event that she wants nothing to do with, which I don't blame her.
Yeah.
But a lot of it, we see her almost like seeming like she has difficult time even wanting to interact with any human ever, kind of. Yeah. And it just kind of, which is maybe fair, but it felt like it flipped really quickly for me in the second episode. But the first one was like the marriage thing. Sure, you may not ever want to get married. That doesn't mean you don't want to be with somebody. That's totally fine. But it felt like a little like it was kind of saying like, oh, this is a person who's just like against an institution with a man at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just felt jarring, but not like terrible, just like,
no. But I think they're like set up more obviously as like equals in terms of like awkwardness in the book, you know? And it's just you can see how, and then, you know, they gravitate towards each other. And this again is where I think like on-screen chemistry comes into play, right? Where if like, I don't think they're bad against each other, but I'm not like, ooh, I hope they hook up. And I think if they could convey that more naturally, you'd be like, all right, I see why you flip, because you found your person, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just sort of this like manufactured scenario versus like actually being there. And so I'm just like, I think I will definitely finish the book.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to keep watching it.
I'll keep watching it. But I do wish they hadn't. Again, this is a tiny spoiler, but not now because we already have hit that point in the show. You know, they set up they go into like their pasts more in the book, like the intro they're discussing it. And he talks about like how like everyone in his family got like brutally, not like as it's just been a freak accident death. And so I wasn't expecting it at the end of this episode because I haven't gotten to like his, I assume he dies in the book too. But I was just like, oh, well, there we go. That's that ties that up. Like, guess he's cursed. Like, guess their whole family's cursed.
Right. And I hope that's not bad for the child. Let me know how that goes in the book, because I will say it surprised me in the show.
Yeah.
But I was also like, this bus on this residential street was
just going 70 miles an hour.
It was a little Mean Girls. It was like it was barreling down that road.
Yeah.
Granted, getting hit by a bus would do you poorly, regardless of. But I just was like, oh my god, that was pretty fast. It was just it looked like a public bus. And it was just in the street. It was weird. I was like, okay. So I am curious if that is exactly. I'm sure he does get hit by a bus. But
I mean, probably. Yeah. But also.
Yeah. It seemed like the dog was like killing him. Kind of.
Well, it's another thing. It's like, you know, this is minor-ish. But like they adopt the dog together in it. Oh. Like the dog. She's like, I don't want. Well, again, I'm going to spoil a bunch with the book. But it's clearly not occurring in the show, or we'll learn about it later.
I don't care. Yeah.
But, you know, he's like, he like awkwardly proposes to her. And she's like, no, I said no. And then you can tell like he's trying to push on the subject of babies. And then he just goes like, what about a dog? You know? It's like and then like this dog like randomly comes into their lives versus like her, you know. I was like, oh, it's just a
See, they're trying to cut that they're trying to get places faster.
Yeah.
You know, to tell it, which I get. But yeah, I don't know. And it's I like the costumes and the sets are nice and stuff, whatever, and it feels of the time. It reminds me of Mona Lisa Smile, because obviously the 50s and stuff, and I actually really like that movie. Yeah. But it reminds me of almost, obviously, it's a bigger story than most of them have in that movie, because that goes over a bunch of different people's stories. But it almost reminds me of like a story that one of the girls in that might have. Of the girls that are all together, or the women, but they're young.
Yes.
You know, but I like that about it, because I do very much like that movie. But
I think I saw that movie.
It's nothing amazing, but it's just
No. Yeah. I just remember being like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll keep watching. I'm definitely like happy to keep reading the book.
Yeah.
And I feel weird comparing them, but like I loved Pachinko, both versions. So there's hope.
Listen, I maintain it's like sometimes it can be tough when you like have just read it, right? And be like, okay, I'm nitpicking. But sometimes it's just, I don't know. It is a different medium, and if it can maintain the heart and the tone of the book, sometimes you do take liberties and things, you change things to speed things along and tell a different way, but it doesn't mean it's a bad adaptation. And so
no, it's not, but it is,
you know.
There have been some decisions, even like having only had two episodes under my belt and like not that far in. I'm just like,
yeah.
What if we'd done it differently? What if we'd done it differently?
Yeah. Well, can I just tell you that I am in that zone in a much more intense way with American Horror Story this season.
Oh, yes. Well, this is a perfect segue into we're watching what? It sounds like you're watching American Horror Story.
Well, I'm still trying. Yeah, it's not my favorite this season, but it's strange because it's the first time that they've ever based a season like entirely on an actual book.
Okay.
Yeah, and the book came out in August and this started in September. So I read it in August because I was curious, and I actually really liked the book.
Okay.
And I do not really like the show, but for reasons. But one of the main reasons, actually, beyond terrible writing and some bad acting.
Yeah.
They are just making some decisions where I'm like, you are just like, why are you basing this? Like, it seems like you were writing this alongside each other. I don't know. Like, because clearly it's called Delicate. The book's called Delicate Condition. Like, it's actually based on this. The names are all the same. And I'm like, why? What's the
is it like a synergy thing? Yeah. Like,
I don't know. Cause that's what I thought. I was like, okay, this is like, you know, but then I would think you would go ahead and make the show accurate to the book.
So
that's yucky to me, but I'm still going to probably finish it. Cause
you have to at this point. Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. And I watched, all of the Fall of the House of Usher.
Okay.
And I am actually halfway through rewatching it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I am obsessed with it.
Shocking. Shocking.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because I'm very relieved because I very much like Mike Flanagan and I like his films and stuff like that. And I loved Haunting of Hill House. I did not love The Haunting of Bly Manor, the second one, like the second season of that he had. Because this is his fifth show for Netflix in horror.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's his last one on the deal he had.
Ooh.
And then he did Midnight Mass and I loved it. And then last year, it was whatever, some Nocturnal Club or Midnight Club or something. I don't know. I couldn't even get
that. Oh, but yeah.
Just no, not for me. And I was like, no, thank you. So so it's like, that's two, it's an F, it's 50%. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So this was like, okay, this is the tiebreaker. And I wasn't sure. And I'm obsessed with it. But yes, I recommend anybody out there who is into horror.
Yes.
Edgar Allan Poe, you know, very, very Edgar Allan Poe.
I keep seeing like, oh, the Poe references, and I'm like, okay, shouldn't it be this whole thing?
Exactly. But they do a thing where it's like, because Fall of the House of Usher story is not very long, which a lot of Poe stories aren't.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool because they've decided to, like, similar to what he did with Hill House, it's like he decided to, like, okay, instead of this just being about the brother and sister, we're going to go ahead and show you this, the rest of this family who's all dead already when you meet the brother and sister in the original story.
Uh-huh.
And all of them get an episode dedicated to them and like and their the tragedy of their life kind of at this time. And it's and each of those is loosely based off of a different Edgar Allan Poe story. So it's kind of cool.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. But that's fun. And I started the new Goosebumps, which is cute.
Oh God, no.
I was like, but I can't. And then the other thing I did, I started Beckham.
Same.
And I'm enjoying it. I love Victoria Beckham. I think she's hysterical. Uh-huh. So like and I think they're cute together. I like them. So I'm enjoying it. However, it's pretty long.
Yeah.
Like there are long episodes and I'm like, this could have been a film.
Yep.
I don't know. So I don't know that I'll finish it, but it's a nice background watch.
That's exactly. I put it on in the background as I was playing Baldur's Gate 3, which is a very long game. So it's just like, this is perfect. I do love, and I know this was like memed to death already, but when, you know, she's like, we grew up very working class, and he literally pops in and he's like, no, tell the truth. She's like, what? He's like,
then he's eventually like, yeah. Your father had a Rolls Royce.
Like, when you get dropped off, and she's like, "Miss Rolls Royce." And I was like, you know what? Way to keep her on it. Like, I like know. This. Like, I liked him in that moment.
Me too. But it's so on brand for Victoria Beckham to think that that's
working class.
Like working class. Like it's so on. That is her, and that's why she's like, I think she's a decent human, I hope, but I think she is. I get the impression I think she is. But she's so out of touch, and I think that she's the one who I like the best on Real Housewives. Like, you know, like where it's like, you don't understand what real people go through.
No, not at all. So she's the Lisa Barlow of... Yeah, my ring!
Less annoying. Yeah, I love her. Yeah.
I think that's the right one, right? Yeah, I was like, Lisa and Meredith, I'm like, oh, you're the same person, but not.
Yeah, exactly. But also, like, even in her Spice Girls days, it was just kind of like, she was so minimal effort and just... What did she contribute? But she didn't want to get together on the tour or whatever. They all went out and did it, and no one even noticed she wasn't there, because they're like, do you do anything vocally? We don't know.
No, absolutely not.
She doesn't care.
I don't remember which tour it was. Like, I think it was the reunion tour. So it was like after they'd broken up, and like, so I don't know, but either way, you know, they all...
2016 or something, yeah.
No, it would have been earlier than that.
Oh, you mean like the first? Okay,
No. Because I was still in New York. Hold on, now I have to look up the date.
Yeah, but it was like in the last 10 years. When you're talking
about not at this point, probably.
Okay. Well, there was definitely one in the last 10 years, because friends I haven't known. 2008.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So that happened. And then there was another one that happened.
Yes, but all five of them were in 2008.
Yes.
And I just remember they all, like, there's this portion of it where they all walk down this like runway thing and do, you know, a riff or whatever. And her thing's just to walk. Like, that's all she does. I was just like, you know what? Like, you know your limits. Know what you're here for. Yeah.
She doesn't try to do anything she's not capable of. I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Great. She knows her brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's a good background watch. I firmly agree on that. Yeah. God, what else? I watched that. I've been watching Great British Bake Off, which, you know, is every Friday. And I always get to it on like Friday night and I watch it. And I'm always so hungry when I do it. I'm like, that's a huge mistake. Yeah. Every week I know I'm going to be hungry when I do it. It's like, there's no food. There's never like bread around or whatever they're making. Damn it. God, what else? I watched a bunch of movies that are coming out later because of the film festival. So we'll talk about it. Oh God, we'll talk about it at some point. Mm-hmm. What else did I see? Oh, I saw The Burial on Amazon Prime. I was just so bored by it. And I love a good law case. But I was just like, it's just a bunch of black lawyers defending older white men with privilege. arguing on behalf of. I was just like, what? What happened? It's based on a true story,
sure.
You know, and eventually it like revealed all this, you know, stuff that had been going on. But I was just like, what? Like, are we supposed to feel bad? I don't know what's happening. Who am I supposed to root for here? Tommy Lee Jones, the old white man? Like, the answer was yes. You know, we were supposed to be, but
typically,
I was like, this doesn't feel good. Like, I don't feel good about this. Yeah. And it was just a very like boring and not well structured, like, or paced, not well paced film, because it was classic courtroom structure, you know. But yeah, so not the best of viewing ways. I haven't watched The Reunion yet, but Love is Blind. I watched the Love is Blind finale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're all
did
terrible.
did you finish OC?
Oh yeah, I finished OC the day it came out.
Okay, yeah.
So it's not but I don't think it's OC we're getting another. We're getting more Selling Sunset regular.
No, sorry. I meant Real Housewives of Orange County.
Oh, yes. It just evolved into Screaming and I couldn't.
Yeah, it was volatile. Yeah, it was volatile, but I watched
it. Well, it just didn't make any sense and it was like incoherent and I was like, this isn't fun anymore. But
yeah, it's gone to a place.
Yeah. I haven't watched, I don't really watch OC, but I tapped in this season and then I don't know if I'll tap back in.
Yeah, but I do it because I do them all. But some of them like this are a little more backgroundy. Some of them get my attention more.
My sister and I were watching it, and we were just like, I don't know what's happening. I don't think it needed to be two episodes. Is honestly what I think it comes down to.
Honestly, I don't think so either. And I was actually surprised it was only two, since they like to stretch them out to three all the time.
Yeah.
And then I watched it. I was like, yeah, this didn't even need to be two, but they felt weird just doing one. So,
it was also very odd in like they couldn't even get a real set. You know how usually they build out these like elaborate, like, well, this is the Moroccan whatever, like the Portugal palace.
I was trying to figure out if that was some sort of, there was some sort of integration with this technology, but I was like, they never even like named the tech. So I know,
but I was literally like, are they shooting at like the, what's it called? Not the dome. The volume where they shoot like Mandalorian, you know, I was like, did they rent out the volume for this? Like what's happening?
I don't know. I mean, they came up to LA cause they went partying after in LA. They said, at the end of it. So yeah.
Eesh. Well, we know they shouldn't be going out, but anyway.
No, we know that. That we know.
Yeah. Well, with that, thank y'all.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, as per usual, to Matt, and that is actually it for this episode. If you liked it, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a review, or even consider subscribing.